I can't believe you're trying to outdo compassion. Out compassion me.
I'm not trying to out compassion. I'm just saying, therapy is another thing I've nailed in my life. So
nobody can tell me to. Nigel.
Nobody should tell me to ever get therapy ever again. Because one, I've gotten it. Two, I'm already improving. Okay. So stop with your naysayers. Oh, men need to get therapy. Guess what, women? I've gotten it and I've nailed it.
Oh my God.
Next achievement, please. Welcome to Rise to Meet You, a comedy podcast where two comedian friends try to be funny. I'm your host, Nigel Ng.
And I'm your host, Evelyn Mock.
Yes. Yay. We are back. All right.
I like being close to the soundboard now, Nigel.
Okay, fine. You can press it.
Oh my God. You're killing me, woman.
Okay, listen. This is not what the listeners signed up for. This is you playing on the soundboard, okay? Listeners signed up for like... our nice, honest, funny conversation.
What is our nice, honest, funny conversation?
Well, everybody was very happy that I'm going to therapy.
Oh my God, yes! You know?
All right, enough, we got it.
People love the fact that you're going to therapy. It took 2 years for you to start therapy and then for me to go to the gym.
I know, and I'm very happy I did it, you know? And I just realized therapy is another thing that I've nailed in my life.
What are you
My therapist thinks I'm really good. My therapist thinks I'm great.
Nigel, if you were trying to parody yourself, you would like this is exactly how I think people would expect you to react to yourself in therapy.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is not just me saying it. My therapist kind of said it. She didn't say, Nigel, I think you're great, but she read between the lines.
I read between the lines.
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
And you can be the judge of whether or not my reading between the lines is delusional.
Okay.
So, as we discussed last week, one of the things I want to work on is compassion for other people. Right? So, my therapist would ask, I'll give her a situation. My therapist asked questions about a situation. Mm-hmm. And then, after I answer those questions, she says, oh, Nigel, you actually have a lot of compassion, I think. I think maybe you just need to work on conveying it more. So the problem is not me not having compassion. The problem is just me bragging about my compassion, how compassionate I am. That's what I need to do. So if you want to, do you want to know what she asked, what the situation is and stuff?
Yeah, okay, same. So wait. So basically, you're basically interpreting that as, I just need to tell people that I'm compassionate.
Yeah. Because I already have compassion.
Okay.
It's a whole different ballgame. If you don't have compassion, then you have to start learning compassion. And then that's harder to change, right? But if you already have compassion and all you need to do is just tell people you have compassion, that's a bit easier.
I think it doesn't mean that you need to tell people. I think she means that you need to show people that you're compassionate with what they're going through.
Let me... finish elaborating on the
story.
And
then
you can tell me, okay?
This is hilarious.
So the example I brought up is you know, on the podcast, I say sometimes my tone comes across harsh, and Evelyn, you know, she's a little bit more sensitive than I am, and sometimes it upsets her, and I feel bad that it upsets her because we are friends and we want to make it this podcast as funny, as fun to listen to as we can, right? So she asked me, how do you want to change things? So I think that there's two answers to that. One, the first answer is like, well, I need to have a better split between my professional and personal life. So I need to tell her that just because I'm like this on the podcast doesn't mean I think that we're just hanging out. On the podcast, I'm just bombastic, loud, kind of contrarian type figure, right? But off podcast, I'm different. I'm more gentle, right? And the second reason, which is more relevant to our point, is she asked me, how would you like to change it? So I say, okay, maybe off the podcast, I can say, okay, I know I was a bit harsh on there, and how's that for you? I hope you're okay. It wasn't personal. And maybe I can like also tone down the harshness a little bit. You know, that's what I said. That's how I can change. And then she said, okay, so how would you like Evelyn to change? And I said, well, to be honest, she's working on a lot of her own trauma and all this shit. So I don't think it's a priority for her to change how she talks to me. It's okay.
How do I talk to you?
Well, I also said to her that you have very sensitive, flowery language sometimes that you use that really annoys me because I feel like you're wasting my time beating around the bush. So she asked me, how would you like Evelyn to change? I'm like, it's okay. She doesn't need to. I think she's working through a lot of her own shit, a lot of heavier trauma. So she needs to work on that first. I don't mind if she doesn't change. You know, I'll just change how I feel towards flowery language. You know? And she said, well, that's very compassionate.
That's
because
very
you
compassionate.
See that Evelyn has shit she's working through. And that's why you don't need her to change for you. And that's you're giving her space to change at her own pace and the things she needs to work on first. Uh-huh. So she said, Nigel, you actually have a lot of compassion.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to tell Evelyn that. And that's exactly what I'm doing live on air. So you tell me. You tell me, people. Have I nailed my goals or what? My goals are to have compassion about people. Turns out I already have it. You know, just to tell you I have compassion more, which I'm doing it now.
Live on air for everybody to see.
Compassion is content. Hashtag. Hashtag and compassion nobody. Is content.
Okay. Okay. Now, the thing is, I know, I do know that you are very compassionate because every time, Nigel's actually, you're probably the person that I feel most comfortable bringing things up with. And then you listen and you process and you respect it. And then you change if you.
And that shit on the people who wrong you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you
is that not compassion? Is that not compassion?
But the thing is, like, I hope that because I feel like I can be very open and honest with you and bring things up with you and have difficult conversations with you. I hope that you feel that way with me too. And I know that I have stuff to work on. And I think my first reaction would be defense, but I'm trying to work on that too.
Yeah. So that. Keep that. Just work on that. Don't worry about me.
No, say now you're trying to out-compassion me.
I'm not out-compassionate. This is just that's my vibe. This is what I always thought. You know, we disagree, and then after you leave, I'm always like, nah, she's working on her stuff. Don't get too mad at her. That's what I tell myself.
That's
and then I'm fine.
Very nice of you.
And then I'm fine.
That's very nice. That's very nice of you, Nigel. But I do want to. Okay, so what do that bother you?
Well, when you disagree with me, you always use a very corporate language.
Okay.
Well, you know, but have you seen it from this perspective before? It's like, oh, come on, let's say you disagree. Let's battle it out. But also, that's on me. That's you can't control. You can't make everybody speak exactly like how you speak.
Yeah, that's true.
So I just, you know, I shouldn't try to change people.
Oh, I'm so glad that that's what bothers you. That you think that I beat around the bush.
Well, yeah, that's that. And I also think you believe in a lot of like woke social justice shit that I find ridiculous and very group thinky, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that's okay. You believe what you want to believe.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What more?
Well, we don't have to go into that. But all I'm saying is I am very compassionate. I have so much compassion. I think I'm going to cut down my therapy once every 2 weeks.
What?
I don't really have a problem. Like, sure, I'm harsh, but it's on the pod. I'm not like this all the time. You see me at a restaurant, I'm eating. I'm not like, you know? People think I'm like this 24 hours. It's very exhausting.
I'm
sweating?
It's
you
true.
Know?
It's true. If you were like this 24 hours, you wouldn't have any friends.
Yeah, I have no friends. But guess what, people? I have tons of friends.
You are a very compassionate guy, Nigel. And I think you, but I think she's right. She's, and you're a very healthy guy. You're very mentally healthy.
Yeah.
But I think she's right, as in you could, you maybe could show it more and be more like,
yeah, I'll tell you more.
Oh, check in. Well, maybe not tell, you not go around, like compassion isn't going around being, I'm compassionate. I'm so compassionate, everybody. It's more like, oh, how are you doing?
I think,
blah, blah, blah.
Concretely, to me, it's more like if we have a heated discussion on the pod, after the pod, if we stop recording, I'll be like, what was that like for you?
Stop!
See? Compassion. What was that like
don't
for you?
Don't use it like, don't make compassion like a new, funny.
This is the sound of compassion. When I said those things I said earlier, how did it make you feel?
That's awful. I can't believe you're trying to outdo compassion. Out-compassion
me. I'm not trying to out-compassion. I'm just saying. Therapy is another thing I've nailed in my life. So, nobody should tell me to ever get therapy ever again. Because one, I've gotten it. Two, I'm already improving. Okay? So stop with your naysayers. Oh, men need to get therapy. Guess what, women? I've gotten it and I've nailed it.
Oh my God.
Next achievement, please. I'm still gonna see her. Maybe like every 2 weeks, because I realized too, a therapy session is pretty expensive. I'm paying £80 per session.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could. It's useful and it's important, but I want to alternate that with massages too. So maybe 1 week would be therapy, 1 week would be a full body massage, you know?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I get an hour and a half massage for that, and it feels so nice. And I would say the effects, the positive effects, is as good as therapy.
Okay.
Yeah, you should try it sometime. Try it. You know, tell Claudia, tell our therapist that. I'm replacing you every other week. I replace you with a masseuse.
I already do every other week with her.
And do you do massages?
No.
You gotta do massages, man.
Okay, I'll do massages.
Yeah, you gotta let someone touch you. That's the last time. That's the last time.
Nigel, stop it. This isn't compassionate.
It is compassionate. Listen, separation of professional and personal life. This is professional mode right now. So I can be as harsh as I can. But I'll check in with you after. I'll write it down. Evelyn, when I mentioned you haven't been touched in a while, what was that like for you? Are you okay?
Oh my god.
I don't take it personally. It's my professional persona, you know?
Nigel, I just feel like you found an excuse to be harsh on the podcast now.
I'm writing this down. Evelyn hasn't been touched.
Nigel, stop it!
Check in. I wrote that. See? Check in.
Nigel!
Okay.
Oh, it's very funny.
That is good.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad.
I'll keep going to therapy. I'll let you know what future sessions hold.
That's great.
I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast ever.
I'm glad you're nailing therapy.
Thank you.
That's so funny. I mean, have you gotten to the deep stuff? Have you gotten to like your divorce and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you?
I think we haven't dived fully into it.
Uh-huh.
I think we talked about career more than the divorce stuff.
Uh-huh.
She did bring up the divorce, and I just mentioned, we just grew apart as people. And then I mentioned we still have lunch. But I had dinner with her last week with my
lovely.
Ex, you know, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Nice catching up with her.
Uh-huh.
And then she was like, yeah, that's very good, Nigel. Very mature of you.
Yeah.
Again, like nailed it. So, and then the career stuff, she asked me what my goals are, and I told her what my goals are.
Uh-huh.
And she said, why do you want that? And I said, just... doing good work brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I do something, I want to make it better than the last time.
Yeah.
You know, and then she said, that's a very healthy reason to pursue your career, Nigel. Again, perfect score. If I were a gymnast after a therapy session, people hold up cards saying 10, like 10, you know? Like, they would hold up cards. I've never seen someone with such robust mental health, such vitality in his brain.
Oh my God.
I mean, I did tell you I've been pretty like mentally fine, you know, and now I have a professional to say.
Oh my god! I have
a professional telling me I'm certified okay.
This is so paradoxical. It's so weird because it's like you're like I'm fucking acing therapy, which is in itself a paradox to what like therapy is. Well, you can't ace therapy.
Why not? Some people are just not everybody. I've been very lucky, sure, to not have a lot of trauma in my life. The worst that happened to me was I got chased by dogs in a graveyard. That was the worst thing that happened in my childhood.
What happened?
I just threw stones at them. What do you expect?
We had
a lot of stray dogs in Malaysia. Uh-huh. And I was a dumb kid. And the grown-ups tell you, don't bother those dogs. They'll chase you down. I'm like, I wonder if they would.
I threw stones
at them. And it didn't really hurt them. So those animal rights people, you know, just chill, okay? It's small pebbles. I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
It's just, phew, you know? You can throw it at people and they wouldn't even be hurt.
That's so funny.
But I threw it at them and they just chased after me.
Uh-huh.
And I had to run to the cemetery was a church cemetery. So I had to just run and hit myself in the church bathroom.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And that was my most traumatic experience.
Oh my God.
Like, compared to you, I've lived a very privileged life.
I think you have. Yeah.
Sure, I was hit as a kid, but context matters, right? If all your kids, all Asian your friends kids, were hit as well, that becomes normal. So I was fine.
I was beat as a kid too.
Yeah, but you were beat in Sweden.
I was.
So
which
that's
was,
a, carry, you carry yeah, that weight.
It was a little bit more traumatic than that. Yeah.
Your white friend would be like, oh,
yeah. Should we are call child services?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, there really is. My parents were always present for me, you know? You're driving to and from school every day. What is that to work on?
Oh my god. Okay, so you've aced therapy.
I have a good relationship with my ex.
Yeah.
We're still friends.
Yeah.
You know, we meet up every now and then to talk. She's invited to my house warming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh lovely.
It won't happen anytime soon. There's a lot of work I need to do to it. It's a shit house, people. So you know.
It's an okay house.
Listen, it's very humble. The only reason I could afford it is because it was just falling down the seams, you know. So, listen, I'm not rich yet, people. But All I'm saying is I have a pretty good mental health, and why can't people nail? You should want people to nail therapy. That means they're getting better, or they have a good mental health, state of mental health, right?
Yeah.
What else with you? Like getting mad at I'm nailing therapy. Nigel, why is your mental health not worse?
I'm not mad at you nailing therapy. I just think that it's so funny that this is how, this is such a Nigel way of doing therapy.
Yeah, nailing it, you mean?
10-10! I scored! I've aced it! Yeah. Okay, next level!
I'm the Simone Biles of therapy.
Oh my god.
By the way, gymnastics, another sport that we women are better at.
Yeah, that women are better.
Somebody brought it up. Thank you.
That's true.
I forgot about that. Men can't even compete. There's not even a men's section when it comes to like the floor gymnastics.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it in the Olympics. I think men gymnasts, they only do the kind of like the, you know, the little thing they ride on, the horsey thing they ride on, which is super boring. Or like the big rings.
Yeah, you know.
But the floor gymnasts, the ribbony stuff.
Yeah.
That's only women.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Only little girls, really.
Yeah, tiny, short little girls.
Yeah, tiny girls from China who win at it.
No, I think Simone, American. I think Simone Biles is the best
American.
Right now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Chinese girls are good at it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, see, the world's more equal than we think it is, people.
Okay.
Not that woke shit.
Oh gosh. Meanwhile, I'm in the gym just like dying. Like, it's so funny.
Listen, everybody's at a different place in life, you know? Yeah, don't compare yourself to Simone Biles. Have some compassion. She's at a different stage.
I'm not comparing myself to Simone Biles. I'm comparing my gym efforts to your therapy efforts. Wouldn't it be funny? You nail therapy and then I nail the gym.
Hey, I think you're doing well, though. You lost quite a bit of weight.
I did. Right? So I've been going for 3 weeks and I've lost 5 kilos.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Thank you.
You know how hard it is to lose 5 kilos?
It is, but also like initial weight loss is always dramatic.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to level off now. But it's really funny. I'm enjoying it. And like Neil, my personal trainer, he's listening to the podcast.
Oh, yes.
So shout out, Neil.
Neil, support our Patreon, patreon.com/ricemeetyoupod. And we'll have special episodes where we film Evelyn going to the gym and you can judge her progress. We should get Neil as a guest on the pod.
We should get Neil as a guest on the pod. That would be funny. You know
Maybe
what?
You can get my therapist on the pod too.
Is it Neil? So your therapist and then my personal trainer.
Yeah. You could be like, Holly, Nigel thinks he's great at therapy. What do you think? What do you think?
What do you really think?
Yeah. I don't think it's ethical for me to record our sessions, right?
No!
Okay.
I mean, you could ask her to say, you could say like, I'm just going to record this for my personal use, probably. But
I want to release it on the podcast so you can hear the proof that I'm good at therapy. You know?
I mean, I don't know if this is healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is...
I think it's really funny. Nobody's done it, but I guess it's not ethical, I guess. Yeah. It's not ethical.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Well, that's really true. I mean, if I recorded my PT sessions, nobody would care. Like, that's ethical.
I think PT and therapy is slightly different too, though, right?
Yeah.
There's a different vibe to it.
You know what?
What?
You know, remember when we joked about you know, the personal trainer therapy thing where personal trainers would shout affirmations at you while you work out? Neil sort of did that with me.
Really? Oh, he's learning fast.
It was really funny because I came in one day and I was like a bit slow. And he was like, how are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm just stressed and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and as I was doing my exercise, he was like, so, like, why are you stressed? And I'm like, oh, because of work and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh. And then he asked me a bunch of questions. And then he just went, you can't say no. And I was like, how did you know, Neil?
Listen.
How did you know?
By the way, context matters. Because that phrase, you can't say no, sounds very rapey, too. in a personal training environment, good. Yeah. Imagine at a party, you can't say no. Don't you dare say no. You better not say no.
Oh, that's funny. No, but he meant it like work-wise.
I know, I can't
say no. And that's why I'm stressed. So that was very funny. But he listens to the podcast now and he's like, he was like, Nigel's quite dominant, isn't he? And I was like, yeah, I am,
Neil. Yeah. Again, separation of professional and personal life.
It is a separation, but it was so funny that was the first thing he mentioned. He was like, Not like, oh, it's funny. Nothing. Like, oh, you guys are great. Nigel's quite dominant, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was so
funny.
Not a
beta male cuck.
Nigel. That's very...
Is Neil a beta male cuck with muscles? They exist, you know?
What?
They exist.
I think he's a respectful person.
Okay, okay. Well, you kind of are paying him, so he wants your money. So, of course, he'll be respectful to you.
What
are you... You know? No, I'm sure he's great. I'm sure you're great, Neil. I'm sure you're great.
He's good, yeah. He's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he helped me. So, he... oh, my God. So, basically, yeah, five kilos in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Was it 2% body fat?
Very good.
And 4 kilos of that was fat. And then 1 kilo muscle mass. But that's expected, he said.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he said...
How do you get down to that level of specificity?
I don't know. Because he, like, pinches me with stuff. You know, like, he does...
Yeah, calipers. That's how you measure body fat percentage.
Yeah. So, he does the calipers on me. And I'm like, this feels very odd, but it's quite funny. But that's what he does. So, he gets the body mass and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I hope in the future world will be a world without calipers.
Why?
Because calipers are a tool designed to hold bigger people down.
Oh, Nigel, come on.
You know, and I'm not for that. This is new body positive Nigel. And I'm against calipers. I'm against any measuring tools. I'm against units. I'm against centimeters and kilos. You know, height is another very repressive tool to hold men down. So I'm against measuring.
How tall are you?
If you want to build, I'm 177.
Are you really?
5'9.5".
I'm 173. I feel like we're kind of the same height.
I think I'm a little bit taller than you.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't have an ego about it. It is what it is. And sure, there will be a lot of women I won't be able to get because height is something that matters to a lot of women,
it's
which is
weird,
okay.
But yeah.
You know, but I don't really care. It is what it is. Life. Sometimes you're dealt the bad hand in life. But all I'm saying is, enough with the measurements, okay? Uh-huh. We don't need to build spaceships. We just use feeling to build a spaceship, you know?
But okay.
That is true, isn't it? I could see some crazy social justice, like, body positive types.
I mean, we know some of them.
Yeah. Don't cook books. You should not measure things in weight. It should be just using your thumb sizes. A thumb of butter.
That in itself is a measurement.
That's a sketch, isn't it?
It is a sketch,
yeah. I'm against measurements and units and measuring cups. No. No. We just go about life. And I will have some quinoa. You don't specify how many you want.
I'll have some quinoa. Yeah.
Give me a good amount of spinach.
Eat the way you feel, which is an actual thing, actually. Intuitive eating.
Give me one stomach full of steak. But I'm very happy for you about your fitness progress.
Thank you. But, you know, the thing is, I got to this place because I went keto for like 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And by the second week, I was insane.
I know.
I was insane.
I know. I had to podcast with you. I know.
Yeah. You had to podcast with me.
So listen, people, you want to blame me again? Let's blame it on Evelyn for a keto.
I was insane.
Yeah.
Probably that fight we had was because of me. Because I was like, the thing is, like, I realized because, you know, basically keto is no carbs. Carbs is sugar. So, and also no refined sugar. And I loved carbs and I loved refined sugar because I use refined sugar to like numb myself, which is like, you know, a vice. Some people use alcohol, some people smoke. I use refined sugar. And when that was out of my hands and I went through such a stressful week, I fucking felt insane. Like, I was insane. I'm not joking. I was up here all the time.
Trust me.
Yeah, you know.
I know. Yeah. I didn't say anything because I'm like, she's going through a lot of trauma.
Are you serious?
And keto. I think that was part of the thought process. I'm like, yeah, she's changing her diet. Usually people, when they change their diet drastically, it's going to affect their mood and behaviors.
Was I that bad?
I mean, I had a suspicion.
Really?
Of course, I couldn't, like, for sure say it, but now you're saying it. It's like, okay, my suspicion was correct.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. You're doing keto. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was like, because, and I started noticing it when I was feeling like so crazy. And then my improv mates, they were like, are you okay? They're like, you don't seem like yourself. I'm like, I'm not eating carbs. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a good reason for why I was eating sugar all the time, because I was trying to numb the crazy. Like, I was crazy. Like, I was like, oh, without sugar, I'm quite intense. Like, I'm quite up here all the time, and I'm fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I'm like nuts. Like,
you are very social justice-y.
Was I?
Very holier than thou. Well, maybe I it wasn't just your stress levels in general, but
yeah,
you were very argumentative.
Was I?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just trying to make a funny point.
I was very argumentative.
But it's fine. I don't hold grudges.
Thank you, Nigel.
Don't care.
It was because I was going through such a stressful week. There was so much happening. And then I was like, I can't have sugar. And then, yeah, I'm sorry. I might have taken it out on you and argued with you. And then when I was doing improv, I just kept yelling that I hate keto.
Was that part of a scene? Or did you just shoehorn it into every scene?
I just shoehorned it in. And they were like, okay. And my improv teammates, they were like, are you okay? I was like, no. And then I just kept eating, like, you know, those, like, you can buy in Tesco, like, a little bag of, like, refrigerators, they're called. It's just chicken pieces.
All you could eat was pork scratching and that.
I could just eat that. So I just sat, like, I just ate, like, a bag of chicken. Just, like, before the show, after the show, and people are like, okay. And I was like, I just need protein. It was so funny.
You could have had hot pot, you know? I had hot pot with my friend yesterday. I was like, this is keto. Why did Evelyn do this?
It's keto.
Yeah. It's meat and broth.
Because
fish
it's
and broth.
It's like a billion degrees out.
Well, they have aircon in the hot pot restaurant.
They do.
But I was like, why is she eating pork scratchings from a plastic bag?
Yeah.
She could eat hot pot. Keto doesn't mean depressed, you know?
I mean, I saw you look at me when I was eating those pork scratchings. We were at like a meeting.
With such compassion. It was more pity. But
no,
also
it was pity. It was pity. I could tell. It was pity because he was like...
Anytime you change your diet that drastically, it's going to affect your mood, man.
Yeah, that's
most
true.
Bodybuilders, when they want to, like, when it's competition days, and they can't even drink water, they can't, because they got to get, like, as shredded as possible and squeeze out the last few percentage. Everybody's in a bad mood.
Well, I mean, that's also because of the steroids, right?
And I think that's separate. I mean, there's a natural bodybuilding contest, too, but everybody's in a bad mood. You know, it's a very common thing. Yeah. Bodybuilding on competition day.
Yeah.
Probably the steroids probably don't help.
Yeah, the steroids probably don't help. I want to kill my girlfriend. I mean, I honestly felt like I probably felt like that. I was like, what the fuck is going on with me? And I hated everybody. And I was like, I honestly hated everybody. And I went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so rude to people. And I was like, yeah, I went crazy. I'm sorry, Nigel.
Yeah, it's okay. Some people are better people when they're fat. Let's put it this way.
I swear, I'm going to be such a bad skinny person.
Yeah. You're not fit to be skinny.
I don't think skinny is for you. I don't think so either. And even like now, I'm just losing so that I get to a point where my health is okay. Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to be healthy, super skinny.
Healthy fat. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to healthy fat.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was like, how do people do this?
Well, that's
really funny.
That's why we don't really hang out with keto people.
I know.
You know, that's why the more dietary restrictions you have, the less I want to hang out with you, because the chances of you becoming like this gets higher.
It was awful.
Are you back on the carbs now?
I'm back on the carbs.
Okay, good.
Oh my God, I'm back on the carbs. But I realized also, because basically it was kind of to teach me, like, you know, I have blood sugar issues because of diabetes and stuff. So Neil was like, it's kind of to teach you like what is good for your body and what is not. And when you make the choices, how you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. And he was like, now you're back on carbs. He's like, you can eat anything, but you know, you're going to make the choices. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that from when I did it a few years ago. I was like, oh yeah, I made choices and that's all it is. And so, but the thing is, I did make a choice of having carbs for lunch. I had like a Pret sandwich. And then immediately afterwards, I was like, why do I have such a sugar dip? And I was like, oh, shit, it's because I had the carb for lunch.
Like just today? Like
no, yesterday.
Okay.
And immediately just like fell into a very, what's it called? Recognizable, like just blood sugar dip.
Well, I'll take a blood sugar dip over psychopath, you know? Because everybody gets blood sugar dips.
Yeah.
And there's still reasonable people to hang around with.
I wouldn't be able to. I'd be like,
you have a coffee.
Yeah, you should have a coffee.
But there's no cure for psycho.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Oh my God.
So Neil, can you stop giving Evelyn bad ideas, please?
No, but it was good to. It was good actually, because then I was like, oh, okay, I don't want carbs for lunch because it'll just give me. It'll just give me like an afternoon dip. And that's what a lot of people say, you know, like lunch coma.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, oh, okay, I can do carbs for dinner and I do carbs for breakfast. I have like a crisp bread and stuff with eggs.
Yeah, you find what works for you.
Yeah, you have to find what works for you.
I would say the heat didn't help too, though.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So you need to try. I think you need to try to book yourself a nice hotel with air conditioning and then have carbs for lunch and see if it's like the sugar dip or is it just the heat and lack of aircon. Because, you know.
It's true, actually. The heat did really, the heat really has affected me.
Listeners, this podcast would not be possible without support from our Patreon patrons. So thank you so much for your support. And please go to patreon.com/risetomeetyoupod to keep us going. And for this month, we have some special content for you guys for the month of July. We have our usual regular bonus episode. And we have, want to tell people? We're gonna have.
I found Evelyn's video blog.
Yeah.
I
have seen snippets of it.
And
it's as much of a car crash as you think it is.
Stop! It is, though.
Yeah. But we are gonna get the video translated and subtitled.
Yes.
And then it will be released as a Patreon only video.
I thought we were gonna react to it.
Yes, that'll be next month. We'll react to it next month.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So this month, usually we only do one bonus app per month, but this month you're getting one bonus app and then also Evelyn's video blog.
Yeah. That's gonna be very embarrassing for me.
Yes.
But yes, you're getting one episode of Evelyn's video blog.
For as little as $5 a month, you get to see Evelyn's dark, dark past. Now she's trying to hide from me. You know, you never brought it up.
Yeah, from you specifically.
Yeah, she's trying to hide from the world. You know, you never brought it up.
Because it was traumatic.
Yeah.
It was another trauma in my
life. Everything is a trauma to you. Stop it.
Yeah.
You thought it was a good idea at the time, but then sometimes, you know, art doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes it's a Van Gogh. Sometimes it's a disaster, you know? So I think it's good, people. So sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/risetomeetyoupod, and we will see you in Evelyn's video blog.
Oh, God.
But I'm very happy that you are taking healthier choices.
Thank you.
You know, hope you keep it up.
I'm going to keep it up.
You know?
It's my new life now. This is how I have to be. Because I was dealt, you were dealt 5'9 and a half-ish. I was dealt diabetes in my genes. So this is how I have to be now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I can't have, like, sugar and stuff, but it's like I just have to choose when, and you can't have it too often. And
or you just have it and don't tell Neil, you know?
I mean, I'll still know.
Stop listening, Neil.
Yeah. Stop. Nah, you can listen, Neil, if you want.
Yeah.
But your kids can't.
Neil has kids?
He has kids, yeah.
Oh, why can't the kids listen?
Because we're too sweary.
Nah, your kids swear, Neil.
Well, they can't listen because of you, really.
Listen, Neil, your kids have... Well, how old are his kids?
I don't know. But they're young. He still picks them up from school.
Oh, okay. But porn is 5 years away for your children, Neil.
Nigel!
Okay, fine. I made healthy choices too recently.
What did you do?
I went on a last-minute impromptu spa holiday.
Oh.
The last 2 days, you know. Went to a very nice British spa in Tring. It's called Champneys.
Okay, yeah. In Tring.
Yeah, yeah. By the
That's
way, Tring
really
is a nice
fancy.
Place.
Yeah.
Of course it's fancy. I'm trying to go on holiday.
What do you mean? Of course it's fancy.
Like, I don't want to go glamping, you know? They had a glamping option. I'm like, no. Fuck glamping.
Yeah, fuck glamping.
I work hard to afford brick around me. And I got upgraded to the only room with aircon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, so they don't have, how much was it?
It's ridiculous.
It's like super expensive.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey. And then, I mean, it's a price you would expect to have aircon, but it didn't.
Oh, okay? My God.
And then I was like, I complained a little bit because you had to keep the windows open and then bugs flew in.
Uh-huh.
And then I would just say, you know, there's a lot of bugs in there and you're just not very comfortable. I was wondering if you have any place, any available rooms with aircon.
Uh-huh.
And then they just gave it to me for a £50 extra. And that turns out that room was a suite. So you have a living room, you have two balconies, A big bedroom, two bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, beautiful.
Did you poop in both bathrooms?
No, we just use one. It's fine.
Use both.
Why is that? Okay. But I did enjoy the suite. And nice aircon. It's on the first floor, top floor, so you can look down on the poverty, you know?
On the poverty. People without suites. Nigel, you're so elitist.
That's part of going on holiday. You feel good about yourself.
You feel good about yourself, yeah.
Yeah, you don't make people feel bad about themselves. You don't go out and yell to the people on the field, ha ha ha. No aircon for you, people. You don't do that. But you just think to yourself, you feel good, and ha ha ha. And after a few minutes, you're like, okay, that's a bit elitist, Nigel. Tone it down a bit. And you're fine. That's what mentally healthy people do. You know?
Oh my
they
God.
Self-adjust. Yeah. Self-adjust. Self-soothe. Self-adjust, you know? They calibrate. Self-calibrate.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. So it was very nice. But I realized something.
What?
There's a big difference between a first world resort and a third world resort. You know?
What do you
when
mean?
When I went to a UK, a British spa place, that's a first world resort.
Uh-huh.
But in Malaysia, the beaches there, you can go to like a third world resort. Developing country, right? Third world resorts. And the service is so much better.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit, I'll be just sitting, lying on the beach. And then when I'm thirsty, there's always somebody in the corner, staff in the corner. You just look at them, they come over. Can I help you, sir? And then you get a Mai Tai delivered to the beach. They'll be wearing shoes. They'll have like proper shoes. They'll walk on the beach with their little shoes.
Poor guy.
And dress shirts delivering you a Mai Tai.
Poor people.
You know, and would you like this charge your room, sir? I'm saying, yes, yes, charge my room, please. I don't have my card with me. You know, that is delightful service. First world resorts, I want to get a drink. I have to go to the cafe. That's so slow. Nobody deals with you. You call reception. It rings and rings and nobody picks up. I dialed zero so many times. In a third world resort, it rings three times and somebody picks you up. And then you enter, you get to the third world resort. Somebody comes by with a little buggy, you know, the golf buggies.
Yeah.
Take your luggage, drive you to your chalet.
Yeah, they drive you
over
to
here. They're like, yeah, it's over there. Do you see that large field?
Your
suite is right at the end over there. Sorry, our bellboy is not working today. Our porter is busy. So, are you okay taking the lift? And you pay less in a third world resort. All that. So sometimes, okay, sometimes, I'm saying you have to enjoy the inequality sometimes.
I mean, it's so exploitative. It's like, okay, so first world resort, you pay to not be disturbed. That's what you pay for. But also,
to not have to put effort into my life. I pay to have every need attended to.
The way you're talking about a third world resort sounds so exploitative.
It's not exploitative. Because, listen, let's not get too dark and social justice-y. But without that third world resort, those people would earn a lot less.
Of course. They're
still earning a lot.
Of course.
You know, we are just, you know, and trying to enjoy ourselves. I always tip them nice.
Yeah, you do. Know? You have to tip. You have to tip.
Yeah. Don't go with your white guilt. Don't go with your Western guilt. Just enjoy it. Somebody's handing you a mojito on the beach. Nice little Asian slave.
Why did you have to add slave?
Nice little Asian servant.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Like, I will say.
And one more thing I want to add. Also, pools here in British resorts, they're always not fully outdoors because the weather isn't great all the time. So sometimes it's a pool indoors and it feels a bit shit. You know, and they have that outdoor pool that's always a little roof and it's shit. Pools in third world resorts, there's a bar in the middle of the pool. Right? Yeah. You can order a Singapore sling, just chilling by the pool, your arms on a little like the dry area, and then you just order, you can just chat up women or men if you're into that. And then just have a people are playing volleyball over that side and in the pool, pool volleyball, and just sipping on your drinks. Oh. And then you can see a view of the beach from the pool. Oh.
And then you can pee in the pool. You don't have to get up to go to the bathroom.
Nobody does that now.
Everybody does that now.
That depends on the price of the resort.
Oh my God.
Another tip. If you want to enjoy a holiday, don't pick the cheapest resort. Because you'll be with people who also pick the cheapest resort. So you need to go like maybe a few steps above. That's it. You don't need to go too crazy, but go a few steps above.
That's hilarious. You know? I mean, I will say I have been to those resorts in third world countries and they are fantastic. And I will say also, like whenever I go to Asia, I'm so excited about staying at the hotels because the hotels are amazing.
Yeah.
Just the breakfast buffet.
Oh, like, breakfast buffet. First World Resorts, what do you get for breakfast? A continental breakfast. Oh, cold butter spreads of marmalade. Cold croissants that's been sitting on the counter for half an hour.
That's really
sad. They put it out at 6 a.m. And then they have the nerve to tell you breakfast ends at 9:30. I'm like, bitch, I'm on holiday.
Yeah, I know.
My day starts at 11:30.
They should really have extended hours for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. It's really weird that they don't.
It stresses me out.
Yeah.
We wake up at 9:20. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and then you have to run downstairs.
How is that a holiday? But a third world resort, breakfast whenever you want. At 3 a.m., you want to call room service, they will be there for you. You know?
They will be there. That is actually a big difference. It's like room service is always around, and also the breakfast buffet. It's like when you go in, they have everything. They have everything. And they even have like a little chef who's like just making you omelets all the time.
They're wearing
amazing.
A chef hat.
And
you know?
A chef hat.
It's oddly formal.
Yeah.
As you're eating them with slippers.
Yes. It flip flops.
And they're wearing formal get-ups.
And everybody just looks like Uncle Roger because it's just uncles with their families.
And then they come over and pour you orange juice. Oh.
Yeah.
Would you like some fresh coffee today, sir?
And waffles. There's a waffle bar always.
Yeah.
I love it.
Third World Resorts is where it's at, man.
It is. Really.
If only COVID wasn't a thing, I'll fly to a third world country and give them my money. Take it.
You've been to Malaysia. Didn't you go on a holiday in Malaysia?
No, I didn't go to a beach there. You can't really travel out of your state. They have restrictions there. I don't think it's exploiting the power, you know? I think it's just, it's an exchange of goods and services. You know, I want good service. I give them money. They provide me a good service.
I feel like it's super exploitative.
Why? Why do you feel that? Why do you feel that?
Because they're just there serving all of your needs.
Yeah, for something in return.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the whole world's, there's always going to be a power imbalance everywhere, you know? I think most relationships happen because most relationships have a power imbalance. That's why I don't see.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think many people say, "Oh, you can't really do that because there's a power imbalance." I'm like, well, people are attracted to power. A lot of times men get women because of the power imbalance. I don't know why people don't address this. Don't you think?
I mean, okay.
Especially male comedians.
Oh my God. They talk
to a crowd. How much power is that? Of course, they all have hot wives and stuff because there's a huge power imbalance. That's very attractive. To some women, not all, to certain women.
Male comedians have managed to fool women into thinking that they are better than they are.
No, I don't think so. I think commanding a crowd is a very powerful move. You know?
It is.
Yeah, it conjures up an image of Stalin and Hitler, very powerful people.
Oh my God.
Very questionable, but no doubt powerful people. You can't say Stalin and Hitler weren't powerful.
I mean, of course they were powerful. Yeah.
So
but
it conjures up that image, you know?
But you can't compare male comedians doing shitty jokes about their dicks, like, to Stalin and Hitler.
I'm saying the power dynamic is the same. You know, women get turned on by that. And why can't a man take advantage of that? You know? That's why I think, you know, you just use your power. Don't do anything sketchy. That's where I think Bill Cosby went wrong.
Oh my God, yeah. Nigel.
The thing is, Bill Cosby could have gotten any woman he wanted. I'm like, come on, Bill. You could have gotten most people. Why do you have to drug them? Don't drug them. People love you already. You are rich, you are powerful, you're successful. Doesn't it baffle you?
I mean, he is the biggest example of misusing your power.
Yeah, don't misuse it. Use it. That's what I'm saying.
He used it.
He misused it. You don't drug people. That's over the line. That's rapey.
Nigel, he used it first to lure the women in. And then obviously he knows that he could charm his way into their pants.
Does he know that?
I think he knows
because
that.
Because if he knows that, he wouldn't have drugged them. He would be like, yeah, it's going to happen soon. I can see this girl.
It's because he knows that he did drug him because there was no challenge in that.
What? Wait, there's no challenge in drugging someone. She's unconscious.
There's such a power. Like, there's such a power inflation in doing that.
Okay, then don't do that. Use the power you have. Don't do sketchy shit.
Don't encourage people to use their power
I'm saying Bill Cosby fucked up.
Oh, Nigel.
That's not controversial. Bill Cosby did fuck up.
He did fuck up, yeah.
He fucked up despite the fact that he didn't need to fuck up. I'm sure Bill Cosby gets laid.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Oh
I'm like, why'd you do that, Bill?
Oh my God.
Just throw it all away.
Okay.
I'm sure you get laid, Bill. Relax.
Nigel.
Nobody's mentioned this. Why did Bill do that? Okay, if it's for a power feeling, then yeah, that's really fucked up. But I'm like, Bill, you can get any woman you want, Bill.
Oh my God. Oh
come my on. God. If okay. Bill just needs a friend like that. Like, come on, Bill. Why don't you drug them, man? You don't even get any woman you want. It's not nice to drug them, Bill.
Nigel!
What? He needed someone who told him.
I bet he had a bunch of people who were like, "Hey, stop drugging women, you rapist."
Did it?
And he was like, successful. I'm not ever gonna stop because I am so successful.
I don't think anyone told him that. That's why he, you know.
Oh, that's why. Oh, yeah. So if just one person had said, "Hey, maybe not drug women and rape them," he would have been like, "Oh my God, I've never thought about that."
I hope so. I would.
I've never thought of not doing this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would hope he had a trusted friend
and be like,
"Hey, bro. You know, I love you, but it's not cool, man. But you know, I love you, bro. I'm saying this because I love you, bro." It's not cool. That's how guys talk to each other.
He just needed one guy friend to tell him that.
He needed a bro guy friend.
Yeah, okay. Hey,
man, not cool. Not cool. I mean, not cool, little Billy. Not cool, bro. I know you're better than this, bro. I've known you for so many years, Bill.
Oh my God.
God, listen to me, man. Like, what's got into you? This success got into your head, bro. You didn't used to be like this. It's on the playground, sucking ice lollies. Stop what you're doing, bro. I'm trying to help you.
Oh, here, have this drink, bro. Thanks so much. Have this drink. Have this drink, bro.
So you need to drug Bill Cosby to stop him from drugging people. No, all I'm saying is he didn't need to drug people. But he did. He deserved to be in jail. If he did. I don't know what. He's let out of prison now, apparently. I don't know what the details are, but.
Everything was dropped against him because he has money and he can pay his way out.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's essentially what happened.
I think it's more nuanced than that because...
Nigel, don't defend a rapist!
I'm defending the legal system, okay? I'm sure he's let go because of, I don't know, probably some... Maybe there's some coercion? I don't know, allegedly. Maybe. All I'm saying is we need to read into the cases more.
Yes.
You're broad brushing again with your social justice shit.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, she's let go because the world likes rich people more than poor people.
I think that's a pretty fair statement.
I mean, it might not be wrong, but it's also very unnuanced, you know?
Oh my God.
And borderline, borderline annoying. Yes, we know.
I've actually thought about this. I'm like, the legal system, why would you want to be judged by 12 people who are your peers? That's a terrible idea. I'd want to be judged by professionals. Like, why are you leaving...
Oh, the jury system.
Yeah, maybe. The jury system. Why are you leaving it to 12 people who you know, who can be influenced by anything? Leave it to professionals who know what they're doing.
What roles do the professionals play?
Like, I mean, just
present the case to the 12 random people? Is that what they all do?
If there was a jury made out of people who are professional jurors or, like, professional who used to be policemen or who used to be judges, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, like, somebody who's not like, oh, you know, I'm just a university student who has no like, I don't want to be judged by my peers. My peers are idiots.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why would that be a good system? That's like, it's such a bad system, right? I don't know.
Is that, I don't know fully how it works here, but isn't there always like some like judge with a hammer?
Yeah, there is a judge with a hammer.
Okay, when I went to the courts for my speeding ticket, you know.
Wait, in Malaysia?
No, here in the UK. Yeah. It was serious enough that I have to go to the court.
Shit, what did you do?
105 in a 70. You know, it's not that bad. There's no cars around. Yeah, exactly. I just got caught. I didn't do anything wrong. So there was no, it wasn't, the jury was professionals. They're professionals. It wasn't like 12 people. So maybe there's differences in different courts.
Maybe there's differences, yeah.
Is it more research required, I guess?
I mean, I guess I'm referring to like the American judicial system where it's like, but here too.
Yeah, we have jury service, yeah.
Jury service, yeah.
But I don't know what role they play. Maybe you're right. Maybe, but for my case, when I had to go to court, it was three professionals judging me.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think that's good. So do they...
Well, to be fair, if it's a road traffic violation, you have 12 regular people, they'd be like, yeah, fuck the system, bro. I'm on your side. Yeah.
So I did it fair, the other week.
Yeah, they couldn't have the 12 regular people.
They would have been on your side. That's funny. Well, what happened?
I just got fined and my license suspended.
Oh.
So I got to resit the test. Yeah, very stupid. But it's all good. Didn't really affect me mentally, still here, you know.
Oh my god,
nothing gets me down, people. I'm resilient.
Therapy.
I aced the legal system.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, but you know, power is a very interesting thing to examine, you know.
I think
I'm attracted to power, so I would love a more powerful woman just sit in my face and use me.
I'm afraid of power. I'm attracted to talent, which don't necessarily have to be the same.
Okay.
I think I fear power.
You can be a talented beta cuck. You know, that's Evelyn's type.
Yeah, that is basically my type. That is pretty much my type. That sums it all up. It is pretty much my type. Yes, the unrecognized genius.
Where are you gonna find those?
Where are you gonna find those? Everywhere. My life is crawling with them. Oh gosh.
Oh. No, I think you'll find your beta male cuck, talented beta male cuck one day. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll be one of Neil's clients. Maybe at therapy. Oh, what? You should meet people who go to your same therapist.
No, I shouldn't. You should Why? Not meet people who go to therapy.
The therapist's office, that is the number one hangout spot for beta male cucks.
I mean,
Am I wrong? Where do they hang out?
Why would I meet somebody?
It's bars with board games and therapist offices.
Oh my god. It actually is bars with board games. It is. Yeah. It very much is. I think I'm going to go there soon with a few friends.
Yeah, put some glasses on, look all nerdy, wear a Dungeons and Dragons t-shirt. Yeah.
Like get a fringe, look a bit like Zooey Deschanel. That's so funny. I mean, meeting somebody in your therapist's office is like, "Oh, so what's wrong with you?"
Yeah.
Great.
I thought you said, "Oh, I like people who are broken, but they mended themselves." That's what you said.
Yeah.
So, therapist office is like the prime location. They're doing
taking no. steps.
They're beautiful because they're broken. Exact soundbite from Evelyn, by the way. They're beautiful because they're broken and they got through shit. You changed your mind quick.
I mean, if they're still in the therapist's office, they're still broken, Nigel. They're still working on it.
So you need to find people like me who nail therapy. Like,
oh my god. Yeah. That's another issue. Imagine going on a date with you. You're like, I nailed therapy, you know, and I want third world service. This first world is such a bullshit place.
I actually did bring that up to like my British friends. They got a bit uncomfortable.
Did they?
I'm like, I brought them. I brought up like how I'm going to this spa, right? And I'm like, oh, but... You know, I don't think it's ever going to be as good as like a third world resort. You know what I mean? The guys who are dressed in formal wear, and they walk on the sand with their little shoes, bringing you a Mai Tai straight to you. And they're like, ha, 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 ha. And in my head, I'm like, dude, you know exactly what I'm talking
exactly.
about. You have been there so many times. And then just because I painted a picture super accurately, now you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They're like,
don't say
third world resort. Just say resort. Like, come on. Not all resorts are equal. Third world resorts are always better.
Oh my okay. god, that's so funny. It's a stand. This is a stand-up bit. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn you into a
stand-up bit.
As palm trees that are just leaning forward. Yeah. Oh my god. And then you see the little servant people walking under the palm
servant
trees.
Servant people?
And then over here, you buy stuff in the cafe.
Uh-huh.
And they tell you, oh, you can't bring this to the pool area. Like, what? I bought this.
Like
in a third world resort. You can take your glass Heineken and walk into the ocean for all you care. Nobody stops you.
And walk into
the
ocean.
And then you can be the service cow. Can I clear out your empty glasses? Yeah, I left it in the ocean. It's just right there. Go pick it up.
Oh my god.
That's so nice to you.
That's very true.
Yeah. And then they have the nerve to have a service charge on everything in a first world resort. I'm like, what service?
That's very what true, service? Actually.
You pour my drink into a plastic cup in order for me to bring this to the fucking pool.
In third world resort, you just leave $100 at the end of your stay.
Yeah.
And whoever finds it gets it.
Leave a little bit in your room desk, your room service, you know. Yeah.
Room service. And they're like, oh, thank you.
Third World Resorts, man. That is my shit.
Oh, my God. People get
uncomfortable.
Funny.
People get uncomfortable. But I'm like, oh, you know it's better. No, it's better.
It is better.
You walk in there, the first thing that greets you is a view of the ocean. You know? Oh.
And the little golf buggy that drives you around is very nice.
Love it. Okay. I've been to a third world resort, a resort in Malaysia once, where it's one of the pricier ones. So I was a trip with my parents, right? So we just didn't have, they didn't want to spend the money to splurge to stay there.
So we
stayed at a cheaper resort, but then in the mornings we would just sneak into the, nice third world resort. And it's like, man, holy shit, the whole beach was just white sand, not a single pebble. They clean it. So it's just white sand, same texture, and then the water is just blue, not even a single pebble in the water. There's white sand on blue seas, and there was like two people on the beach.
Why? Because it was so expensive. Everybody else was at the cheap one.
Yeah, everybody at the cheap. Oh, the cheap one was just tons of Malaysian people.
Yeah,
but the beach one was just like a sugar baby type, and then a attractive looking black European guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. With abs and stuff.
With abs.
Yeah, so that's what you can get. You know, if you want to have a nice holiday fling, you got to splurge a little bit.
Mm.
You want to, you know, at the poolside bar, you're going to be talking to, you know, a guy, a well put together guy or girl, you know.
Mm.
You don't want the one-star people. That's what I'm saying. You want a nice third world resort.
Mm, yeah. That is very, very funny.
And my parents just hated it. It's like, what? Because everything's so expensive there.
Oh,
Malaysian food's like, usually you buy it for like what? $6-7 Malaysian dollars is $30 there. Like, ah, it's too expensive. Ah.
So would you go back to the other one to eat and then come back?
Yeah, that's what they did. But I just ate at the First World Resort.
Did you?
Because I like the service. It just bring it up to me.
How old were you?
22, 23.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very nice. It was my WhatsApp profile photo for a while, the Third World Resort.
Oh, the one where you're sitting on the thingy.
Yeah. Oh. A bottle of Heineken in my hand.
Yeah, you were very happy. You looked very happy in that photo.
That is my therapy. When a third world country boy brings me a bottle of
beer. When you said, 22, that's much older than I expected. I thought you were like 10 or something. And this was like a vacation your parents took you on. But you were 22?
I want to hang out with my parents. What's wrong with that?
No, it's good. But I mean, like, you
why
did
it at
22.
Why would a 10-year-old make observations about a first world resort, you know?
No, I mean, like, because you were saying you guys sneaked, your parents got the cheaper one, and then you just sneaked over to the expensive one to thingy.
It feels
like that's something that you do as an Asian family when you have small kids. You do that.
Oh. Now, my parents will always do that.
That's so funny.
They're too cheap and poor.
That's hilarious, Nigel.
But it goes to show, And they didn't enjoy it, you know? Our parents won't enjoy a third world resort.
There's
something for them to do.
To be quite honest, my parents now, as they're older, they splurge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think it's because they're retired now and they worked so hard and they've saved so much money.
Can you tell them to splurge a bit on their house? Maybe hire someone to take away the cardboard boxes?
Excuse me, sir. You have a really messy house at the moment.
Yeah, this is the stuff for the recording. Jesus
over
Christ.
There,
that's recycling.
Over here.
I'm moving soon anyway.
Under your stairs.
That's always been there.
Nigel has a really messy flat. It's been messy for a few times now that I've been here.
Okay, sure. I'm moving soon anyway. Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
But that's very funny. I mean, they do splurge. They splurge
on some paint,
vacations.
Maybe, you know?
Nigel!
Okay, fine. Splurge on vacation. It's good. Yeah, splurge on leaving the place you hate. You know? If your house is shit, you should splurge on vacation. That is right. That is right. Good job, Francis. Good job, Francis Mark.
Well, okay. I mean, the thing is, okay, actually, something that's been starting to happen now because we live in these times, which I also find a bit weird because there's a weird, like, maybe not power imbalance, but it's like it feels intrusive. So basically, I'm filming something next week and they need me to do COVID tests. So they're sending somebody around who does it. Mm-hmm. So I think that person's hired by the production to go to every actor's house to do it. And so, he was going to come to my house and do it. And I was like, oh, okay, then I should clean. So I vacuumed and everything. And then I was like, oh, okay, maybe he wants some tea and stuff. So all right, I'll prepare that. And then he came by, he knocked on the door. He just went, open your mouth. I was like, and then he just swabbed me. And then he was like, thank you, bye. And then just left. So like literally just like, he just came, like just swabbed me and then left. And I was like, I mean, it's efficient, but also I'm like, I feel violated somehow. It's just so weird, isn't it?
Spoken like someone who never had a one night stand. Yeah, it would be weird. Yeah. True. Is that what you do? You know, true. Someone's coming over, you vacuum and clean.
Yeah.
For a one night stand.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Groom.
Well, get used to it. Just get used to that feeling of rejection. Because you're going to feel a lot of that. You're going to come over and stick your dick in your mouth and leave. You know? I was like, oh, you remind me of my COVID tester. You're not the first boy who have done this to me, you know. This is dating in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true, yeah.
You got to treat every man like a COVID tester.
What? I was trying to talk about something like that's happening now. That's going to be part of our new thing. And you're like, yeah, that's just like having a dick in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's just like...
I've been on both ends of that.
Nice.
I've been the COVID tester and the person who got tested, you know.
Who got tested.
I just came by, I cleaned my house, and I'm like, you didn't even notice I vacuumed? I... No.
You don't want tea?
Yeah.
Aww.
What, you want to pump and dump? Okay, fine, I guess. Fine. If that's what you really want, I'm respectful of your desires.
A pump and dump.
That's what they call it.
That's so
what a COVID
disgusting.
Guy did to you. Pump and dump. That's more from the guy's really, perspective. What if a woman did that? What would it be called?
A hump and dump?
Hump and dump.
I guess. A hump and dump. You hump a guy, right?
Yeah. A ride and... What rhymes with ride?
Ride and slide. Ride and slide out of there.
Sit on your face and leave your place, you know?
That's very funny. Wait, which one?
This one? Oh, no. You are eating my pussy, boy. Yeah. Like a drive-thru face-sitting. Let's come by, sit in your face.
And leave your place.
Yeah, sit in your face and leave your place.
I was talking to someone, and like she was like, she said something like to me about a dude, and she was like, he just liked that you made him feel special, and unless he's gonna offer up his face for you to sit on, just leave it. And she was like, oh my god, that's too nice to meet you. Soundbites.
Yeah. You make me feel special. You are eating my pussy, boy. What context did this conversation happen?
On Instagram.
Oh, okay. Did someone tell you that?
We were talking about something.
About what?
About a person. I think you know who.
Okay. So I assume he never offered to let you sit on his face.
No.
What did he offer? A phone call? Beta male cuck. You know?
That's over now, though. So it's fine. It's very funny. Yeah.
I need to sit on your face like it's my throne. You know? Let me sit on your face throne.
Stop.
What's your experience with face sitting, Ellen? Tell us.
Nigel!
You like it?
I can't imagine how that would go.
Can't imagine. People like it when I do it, usually.
Okay. Okay.
Explore my cave and... I can't think of something that rhymes.
No, I like sitting on your face and leave your place.
Yeah.
That's good.
We need more.
Yeah. Sit on your face and leave your place. That's really fun.
That's more... Yeah, pump and dump. Just so witty.
Concise.
Yeah, concise. It paints the picture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Another thing is, that resort is a spa resort, right? So it's known for their massages and stuff. But then you have to get the massages at a designated area.
What do you mean?
I want them to come to my room and massage me in my room.
That's pervy.
It's not pervy. It's a professional place. Okay.
You know what?
You'll get kicked out if you are pervy on your massage therapist.
You know what? What? We went to China with my family and then my uncle's family as well. And then they were like, oh, yeah, you can have massages if you want, like for the men and for the women. And I was like, okay. So my dad and my uncle wanted massages. And then I went down with them because I was like, okay, let's do it. And then as we walked in, the women were dressed so skimpily, like really low cut, really short. And I was like, this is disgusting. And then they started massaging my dad and my uncle. And my dad and uncle were like, And they, one of them looked at my dad's watch. He wore his Rolex. She was like, whoa, is that a real Rolex? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I had to leave because it was so disgusting.
Well, you're cramping their style.
What do you mean cramping their style?
Your dad wants to get a hand job. What else?
Come on, Nigel.
Why can't your dad want a hand job? What's wrong with wanting a hand job?
You're being awful.
I'm not being awful.
Yes, you are.
Why do you stigmatize sex workers? Even if they're sex workers, which I assume from the way you phrased, from your tone and the way you phrase things, I'm assuming you're heavily implying they are. But I'm saying even if they are, you were crappy. You were like third wheeling. You were cock blocking them.
I was cock blocking my dad and my uncle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud that I was.
Very annoying. Very annoying.
No.
Can't imagine how embarrassed your dad must feel. Explain to his uncle. Yeah, sorry, my fucking daughter coming along. Oh, sorry, man. Sorry, Tony.
It wasn't Tony.
Tony was all like, let's go get hand jobs, Francis. Yeah, boy. High five. And you tag along. And you're all social justice. Oh, Rolex, I'm not having any of this. That's ruining two guys having a fun time. You go get your nails done with your mom, you know?
You're the worst.
You go sit in that little fish pot with the little fishes come chewing your feet.
You do that. Yeah.
That is your hand job. Let your dad and uncle have his fun. If they want a hand job, so be it. If they don't want it, that's fine too.
That's awful.
And now they are like, oh, Evelyn probably... Now they're thinking, even if they were professional massage therapists, now they're thinking, oh, now Evelyn thinks I'm the kind of dad who gets hand jobs from whores. You know, that's very uncomfortable too.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable, yeah.
It was like one of those things where people ask and then they expect you to say no. You know?
Nigel!
I think the fault's on you here.
How is it on me?
I can't fault the women who want to make a living. I don't want to fault them.
I mean, I don't fault them either. I just feel bad for them that's one of the options that they have to choose.
Yeah. Sometimes life deals you a shithead. Diabetes, 5'9½, prostitutes. Sometimes life deals you a shithead. And you have to figure it out. They have kids to feed. What do you want to start? So,
oh my God.
I'm saying, is it that bad for your dad to get a hand job on holiday? It's not like he got a hand job in the middle of a work day where he's in the middle of making fried rice and he just gets out and leaves your family to get a hand job.
Stop talking about my dad having a hand job. Even like that photo of that woman you have there. What is it, a Mongolian woman? I don't know.
Yeah, something around Central Asia. Yeah.
Yeah. She's even looking at us being like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just saying, you kind of were a killjoy at the time. Am I not? Right?
You know what? I'm proud. I'm proud that I cocked blocked my dad. God, I hope he never sees this. I hope no one in my family sees this. Actually, I think my cousin listens to this. And he's...
Was it the uncle, the dad of the cousin?
No. He's another cousin who's my aunt's son. Him and...
Newsflash, people. Sometimes dads want to get hand jobs on holiday.
Nice.
Newsflash. Should we judge them?
Please stop that.
I don't think your mom's going to give him a hand job on holiday.
Oh my God, Nigel! This is awful. I'm too prude for this.
So,
oh my God.
Conclusion, third world resorts, much better.
Oh my God.
Just don't bring your children there. They're cramping your style.
All right. End this episode now, please. Oh my God. See you next week, people.
Bye, Nigel. It's been Nigel Leung and Cockblock Evelyn. Bye!
Nigel!
A massive thanks to all of our patrons who make this podcast possible. And we want to shout out our patrons at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Teo
Aguino, Alfredo Lopez Ramirez,
Alvin Ko,
Alyssa Lim,
Amy Wong, Angela Din,
Anna Chan,
Asian Rights Matter,
Asian Snacks,
Aisha Shaheen,
Ben Jen,
Black Widow EE,
Candy,
Charity Delmas,
Charlene K,
Chayi,
Edith Wu, Chinese Hemp,
Chris Zaykit Wong,
Christina Marie Van Norman,
Christy Lincoln,
Celestia Tay,
D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon,
Dingus,
Doug Wheaton,
Elizabeth Hay,
Ella Woof,
Grace Rotz,
H,
Hung Black,
Iris Holland,
Isha Koo,
Jackie,
Jared,
Jason Lee,
Jeff Cho,
Jeffrey Watson,
Jenny Chan,
Jessica Lundbom,
Jin Cheng Gu,
Gina Kim,
Johanna,
Joppa So,
Judy Lai Norling,
Carrie,
Kirsten Gilbertson,
Krishna,
Kylie,
Lam Tin Luk,
Byung,
Leslie,
Jason Lee,
Lizzie Xia,
Loi Hugh Dick,
Lori Hunt,
Megalosaurus
16,
Megan McGurney,
Melissa Pham,
Michael Corazon,
Munchiu,
Natalie Lay,
Nathan Konopka,
Philip Idistrom,
Rachel Duffy,
Robin Wong,
Sakura Iwagami,
Sarah Lee,
Sebastian
Lagasse,
Seth Phelan,
Sharon Guivesin,
Shelly Chow,
Sydney Mankowski,
Sifu Liu,
Simi Leung,
Teresa Ko,
Trisha R. Pace,
Valerie Gorospi,
Vera,
Vic Rant,
and James Aurora,
Vivian Kaler,
Wei Sung,
White Boy Dave,
Tri Chi,
Zhou Zhang,
Liu Ye.
Thank you so much for your support.